Chafvav Amud Aleph, Gemara Megillah, top of the Gemara. Bnei Eir Shemachu Chorva Sheliyah. We said in the Mishnah, if the citizens, the Bnei Ha'ir, the people of the city, sold the city street, so then that has holiness and have to work their way up with the money, and they buy a shul with the money. Amar Rabba Bar Bachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabba Bar Bachana quotes in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi Stumta. This is the opinion of Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi, that Rabbi sealed the Mishnah in accordance with his opinion. Stumta, Rabbi was sotim. Rabbi closed the Mishnah. He doesn't say it in the name of a minority opinion. He just says that as a stam, this is the halacha. So even though the Mishnah reads like this is his opinion, like this is the given opinion, this is the Stam Mishnah. You're in Tanis, guys. So, gotta go over to Megillah.
Stumta is sealed from Satum?
Correct. There you go. This
last opinion was sealed by him.
Correct. Rashi in the Fez Amar Aleph says it. Rashi in the beginning of the Masechta explains this. So this is the opinion of Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi, that Rabbi was stumta'a. Rabbi sealed the Mishnah with his opinion. Rabbi just says it plainly. He doesn't say it in the name of minority opinion. If Rabbi would read the Mishnah, and the Mishnah would say, Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi says, etc., so then sometimes we would say that opinion is yechida'a. It's a minority opinion. You see, Rebbe quoted, he says it. Seems to be only he says it. Sometimes we go so far as to say that the halacha is not like that opinion because yechidoi. It's a minority opinion. So then you say, but wait a second, where do you have a source that anyone disagrees? Well, the fact that the Mishnah quotes it as his opinion indicates that he's a loner. He's the only one that has this opinion. Sometimes we say that. So here we have the exact opposite. Rebbe took the opinion of Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi, and he wrote the Mishnah in accordance with that opinion without saying it's his opinion. Rabbi just was so sim, he sealed the Mishnah. You read the Mishnah, it says plainly, if you did this, this is what you have to do. Aval chachamim omrim, but in truth, the rabbis don't agree with the opinion of our Mishnah. They hold, arechov en bo mishum kedusha. There's no holiness in the street. You sell the public street in their day. So there's no holiness there, and you can do what you want with the money.
So what about the streets that will lead to Temple Mount?
Let's wait. Let's hold up. Later on the page we'll discuss it. So we assume that holiness stems from holy actions in those streets. So the question is, Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi, Maitaima, what's the logic behind Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi? Why does he say that the public center, the public square, the public street has holiness? Hoil va'mitpalim bo betaniyot, being that when there are fast days, so then part of the mourning that we don't do this anymore, but the Mishnah says they used to do this, is they take the ark out of the Bet HaKnesset, they'd put it in the public square, they'd exile themselves from shul, and they'd have the public prayers out in the street. Everyone would get together in the street, and they'd put ash on top of the Aron, and they'd fast, and they'd have speeches, and everything was done outside. So this was part of what we did in Atanis. So being that the nation prays there on Atanis, that gives it a certain holiness. It's not a permanent shul, it's not where we daven all year long, but it is where we go on Atanis, on a fast day. So that's why Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi says, if you want to sell that city center or the city square or the public street, whatever, however you'll call the rechov, you have to recognize that there's holiness in that money. V'rabbanon, but the rabbis disagree. They say, hahu, that use of the public street, akrai be'alma, is a passing thing. It's not frequent. How often do you make a fast? Once in 5 years, once in 10 years. It's not a permanent usage that you could say endows the street with holiness. And so if you sell that street, you could do whatever you want with the money. The rabbis disagree with Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi, but Rabbi sealed the Mishnah like Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi. So now, we have a Stam Mishnah. Tosfos tells us, not here, elsewhere, Tosfos tells us that when you have a Stam Mishnah, when Rabbi closes off Mishnah, and he says it plainly, so then that Mishnah has two strengths. It has the strength that the Mishnah is read like a Rabbim, like the majority opinion, because Rebbe quoted it as though everyone holds that way. So he gave it the weight as though the masses are of this opinion. And it has a second strength, which is that it is a Stam Mishnah. The mere fact that the Mishnah is not only Chachamim Omrim. If the Mishnah would say Chachamim Omrim, so then Rebbe endowed this opinion with the majority opinion. He'd say the rabbis say, that means he and his court came to a ruling, this is the majority opinion, and it has a majority backing. The fact that Rebbe seals it off and makes it a Stam Mishnah gives it two strengths. The strength of Rabbim plus the strength of Stam Mishnah. The fact that the Mishnah is sealed off this way. So far, so good. You know this already. You're right, Moshe, we've discussed this before. Okay, 1 minute. Step two. The opinion of Chachamim over here in the Gemara is not quoted in our Mishnah. So whenever you have an opinion that's quoted in a Braisa, that's quoted externally to a Mishnah, halachically that opinion has less weight than an opinion quoted in the Mishnah. So right now, if we had to do a calculation and say, where does the halacha lie? We would say the halacha lies with our Mishnah, because a Mishnah is stronger than a Braisa. And our Mishnah has a double strength with this opinion. It has the strength of Stam plus Chachamim plus Rabbim versus the Braisa where it's just the Rabbim. So on the surface, we might say the halacha should be with our Mishnah if we were doing a halachic mathematics. But, and here's the big but, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says, Zu divrei, the words of our Mishnah are the opinion of the minority opinion. What's he telling us? He's telling us, don't go blindly after Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Don't go blindly with this Mishnah and say, well, it's a Stam Mishnah, that must be halacha. No, no, no. I want to take away from that strength. I'm telling you, don't be fooled, the Mishnah is really a minority opinion. So when Rav Yochanan makes this statement, he's not only giving us a marker and telling us you should know, this Mishnah is really in line with that opinion. He's not just telling us a historical fact. Historically, this was the opinion of Rabbi Menachem Rav Yossi, and along came Rabbi and sealed the Mishnah with this opinion. He's also giving us a halachic perspective. Don't give the Mishnah the weight of a Stam Mishnah, but rather, no, this Mishnah is really a minority opinion. The rabbis really don't agree with this Mishnah. And that's why the weight of halacha shifts. If I would have had this whole conversation quoted differently, if the Gemara would have just said, I have a Braisa, quoted me the Braisa, the Machlokas of Rabbi Yossi and Chachamim, and then the Gemara would have said, well, I guess our Mishnah goes in line with Rabbi Yossi, or else we would have figured it out, then the halacha would have remained with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah has two strengths, as we said. It's Stam Mishnah and the majority opinion, Chachamim. The fact that the way it's worded is, Zu Divrei, this Mishnah is really the opinion, it's only Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi, is coming to really detract, to take away from the strength of our Mishnah and give more strength to the conflicting opinion of Chachamim that say that the street does not have any holiness. You guys got that?
So is he arguing on Rebbe's opinion?
Oh, you blew me away. What a good question. Stick with us another year or two and we'll address it.
What?
We're not yet holding where we could address it. It's a very, very good question. But we're not yet holding where we could address it. You need to learn more. If you want to know the answer to that question, look up the Bach, wrote a responsa, Shuvas HaBach, Simin Ayin. And the 70th responsa, not that I know the Shuvas HaBach, it's the only Shuvah of the Bach that I do know. That's why it's easy to remember. But the Bach, in his responsa, the number 70, addresses this question. But I'm not sure you'll understand it at this stage of the game, but if you want to try, you could try. But that's a very good question. That deserves a lot of classes. We can't deal with that now. That's a very good question. Okay, now we had questions here. Yosef, you want to say something?
Questions?
I don't know.
Why do we say that it's the majority opinion as well as the Stam Mishnah?
A Stam Mishnah carries both weights.
So if it's a Stam Mishnah, it's also a journey. Oh,
yeah.
Do we say that Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir?
We generally say Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, unless the Gemara tells us otherwise. Basically, when Rabbi... We have Zu Divrei. Zu Divrei, Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi.
Okay. So there's not even an assumption that it is Rabbanu.
I didn't follow you.
We had said that Mitzkoch was that it was Rabbi.
The second Rebbe wrote the Mishnah as a Stam. He gave it two strengths.
Okay.
Rabin
he gave
and
it
Stam.
Okay.
Two strengths. His court voted on it, and they decided to give it this halachic weight.
Even though
it was only Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi. Okay. Anything else? Simcha, you want something?
I was just saying, isn't it always preferable to daven indoors within four walls?
Great question. When we hit the Gemara in Tanis, we'll have to discuss it. Back to the Gemara. Beit Knesset Lokichin Teva. It's just not our topic, so we can't go off. We said in the Mishnah, if they sell the Beit Knesset, if they sell the shul, so they use that money, Lokichin Teva, to purchase an ark. We're working our way up in holiness. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, Lo Shanu El Beit Knesset Shel Kfarim. Our Mishnah that says when you sell a shul, so it's assuming you could sell a shul, that's talking about a shul of a village. A shul of a village, so okay, you could sell it. Aval beKnesset Shel Krachim, but a shul that's a shul in a big city, Kevan de Me'alma Atula, being that people are coming to this shul from all over. You own the shul in Tachana Merkazit, the central bus station. Who's that shul belong to? Who uses it? The masses. You know, 10,000 people a week. So being that Me'al Ma'atula, being that people come from all over, Lo Matzu Mezavnile, then you can never sell it. Dehavile de Rabim, because it belongs to the masses. It belongs to a huge public, and so you could never sell it. How could you ever get the huge public to agree on selling it? Even if you got the votes of 10,000 people, what about the 10,001? And what about the next guy and the next guy? So the question is, wait a second, just because I pray somewhere I own that shul, how does that work? What does that mean? So let's, I assume you guys want to go a little bit in depth. This is advanced Talmud here. So let's see Rashi and let's see Tosus. Rashi says, Aval shel krachin, have lehu batei knesiot de rabim. You guys have the Rashi? You have it, Moshe? So Rashi says, have lehu batei knesiot de rabim. Then it becomes a shul of the masses. Ve'akol ba'alehen, and everyone owns them. And the people of the city are not the sole owners of this shul. Okay? What does Rashi mean? I don't know. I read a Rashi like this. Rashi says, it is a shul of the masses, the masses are their owners, and the people of the city are not their sole owners. Okay, but my question is how? Meaning, I understood that from the Gemara. So in Rashi, I don't know what to say. You know, you could say whatever you want, I think, because Rashi doesn't tell us. What do you say, Bitzalim?
But for instance, it will be the agate or the city to pay for this, for the synagogue, light, water, everything, would not make them the owners of
it? It's a good question. I guess that question also needs to be addressed while we're exploring this topic. So let's read Rashi, because Rashi seems to say the same idea at least twice, if not three times in Rashi. So obviously, we're not understanding Rashi. Aval shel krachim, but shuls of the big cities, have lehu batei knesiot rabim. They are shuls of the masses. Vehakol ba'alehin. And everyone are their owners. What's Rashi telling me here? He says two lines. He says, it is the shuls of the masses, and everyone is its owner. And the people of the city alone are not the owners. Didn't Rashi say a lot of words here? What's Rashi getting at?
You can understand the first part. It's referring still to the whole city in general, right? The first part of Rashi. And then it's coming to include people outside the city.
Maybe.
And the rabbin could still be.
Well, if we're talking about a place like in the bus station, you know, people from everywhere, not just the local community, but others might show up too.
So help me, guys. Let's read the words of Rashi a third time. You know, until you read Rashi four times, you don't begin learning, right? The Gemara used the terminology lomatsu mezavnile. They can't sell it. Dehavile de rabim, for it is of the masses. Now, the key over here, whenever you have a question like this, you have to zone in. Which word, which letter is bothering me? What do I need to define exactly? What's the exact point here that's not clear? Oh, what does it mean, de rabim, of the masses? Does it mean of the masses' use, or of the masses' money, or of the masses' ownership, or maybe all of the above, or some of the above? The key word here that we don't understand is di rabim, that little dalit. What does it mean, di rabim, of the masses? Right? Now we've zoned in. We know which word we're missing. We don't know what that means. Right? That's our question. And that's key whenever you're learning. You have a question, so focus. Where is my question lie? So now let's read Rashi again. Aval shel kachim, but shuls of the big cities, havelehu batei knesiyot de rabim. Okay, he seems to be quoting the Gemara. So I have the same question I had on the Gemara. What's the de rabim of the masses? Vehakol ba'alehen, and everyone is their owner. So now Rashi brought me into a new realm, ownership. Everyone owns the shul? Because I daven in Tachanah Merkazit, I have ownership? Is that how it works? Or like he said, if Eged owns their shul, or whoever owns the property there, how do you get ownership just because you enter my shul? Meaning I could have understood it that... Okay, you guys, start thinking. Use your brains, guys. How could you have understood it?
Well, usually the people who support the shul are the people who daven there.
Oh, so you're saying maybe the idea is when I daven there, I do put my 2 cents in the pushka. So you're saying Simcha offers understanding number one, that maybe I have partial ownership because I also fund the shul to some extent. So is that how it works? You come to my little village and you donate, you get an aliyah, and you donate 20 shekel, and now I can't sell the shul because you helped fund the lighting and the air conditioning? Is that what we're going to say?
As far as I'm concerned, yes.
I hear Simcha. But think about it, because we said a village shul you could sell. Big city shul you can't sell. Now you want to suggest, and I hear your suggestion, but you hear the problem with the suggestion. It's because you're giving a little donation. Okay. Moshe, what do you say?
Similar to a school, like all the other public institutions. Right?
I'm listening.
So it seems to be owned by the government, the local government. And the local government is owned by the people. So you seem to be in the same concept.
Okay, you want to sharpen what you're saying?
It seems to be public property.
How does it become public property? You're saying we're talking about a situation where it was public property? And then again, which public? Why isn't my municipality in charge? So if I'm in New Jerusalem, let the Jerusalem municipality make the decisions. If they're the ones funding, shouldn't they be the one making the decisions?
That's representative of the people.
And what? Sharpen it. And what? And therefore what? Who are they representing?
The Derbim.
Why?
Why? Because they've been voted by the Derbim to put into this position. Thus, they have the ability to make a decision of it. And their decisions are not the decisions of just a select group of people, but it's the decisions of the people.
But the Jerusalem municipality is being voted upon by us, Jerusalem citizens, as is the city of Matamachsia, which we're about to learn on. So in this big center of Matamachsia, they vote on who's going to represent them. So if they're their representatives to buy the shul, they should be their representatives to sell the shul. So what do I care if my shul has 50,000 visitors each week? So what? But if my municipality bought it, my municipality should be able to sell it. So we got to sharpen it. What does it mean, de rabim?
That have been initially designated for that purpose.
Oh, so he's saying something different. That's what I thought you were saying. What are you saying?
That from the Lashon, perhaps it's referring to that they are meant to be for that very
purpose. When we sanctify the shul, what are our thoughts? That's what I thought you were saying. When the municipality builds a shul in a central bus station, they're dedicating it to the public. So the holiness they're giving it is on behalf of a greater public, not just Jerusalem, not just their citizens. So suggestion number one was the funding is coming from everyone. Suggestion number two is the dedication is for everyone. Dear Rabim, again, let's notice what's the point we're focusing on. What does it mean, dear Rabim? Yehuda, you want to say something?
I was just thinking, as far as ownership, a shul isn't worth anything without participants.
The land is worth something. You could build you can make a hole there.
Holiness.
Build a McDonald's.
We're not talking about the holiness. We're talking about the capacity to sell it. How holy is it and who has the rights to sell? Okay, so now that you guys offered such excellent suggestions, let's read Tosfos. Says Tosfos. Kevan de'me'alma katula, top left Tosfos. Being that people are coming from me'alma, from elsewhere, from all over, nireh lefaresh, it would seem to explain hachi as follows. You have to stop and notice Tosfos' opening words. Very often Tosfos says, v'im tomar, and if you'll ask. That's one type of question. Other times Tosfos begins and says, kasha, I got a question. That's different than saying, v'im tomar, if you'll ask, I have the following answer. Kasha means I got a question. Now Tosa says, Nira lefarish hachi, it would seem to explain as follows. Tosa seems to be indicating he doesn't have a tradition as to what's pshat in this Gemara, and that Tosa is also bothered, because Tosa is using wording that says it would seem that we should explain as follows. So something's bothering Tosfos.
But does this mean for thousands of years there were never any cases like this where they had to make decisions?
For sure not. But it means that on this point, Tosfos was just chased out by the Crusaders before his grandfather Rashi could explain it then.
Okay.
So he says, you know, I don't have a tradition on this, but it would seem to me that the following is the explanation. Kevan sherov bnei adam regilin lelechet sham leitpalel, being that many people, masses of people are accustomed to going there to daven, afal pi she'en notnim klum bevinyano, even though they didn't donate anything when we were collecting for the building fund, Mikol makom kevan deledat otan rabim nasa, being that it was done for the sake of those masses, like Yosef explained, when we built the shul in the Tachana Merkazit, our focus was for those masses. Chamura kedushato, it has more serious holiness. Ve'inan yecholin lemocho, and therefore you can't sell it. So explanation number one, what Yosef said is the first explanation of Tosfos. Ve'od yesh refaresh. And a second explanation, along the lines of what Simcha was saying, only slightly different. Kevan sherabim notnin bevinyano uvishar tzrachav. Being that the public funded its building and its other needs. Meaning, the fact that you visited my town and gave your 20 shekel donation, and we used it for the lighting and the air conditioning, well, that's also part of keeping a shul running. So Tosfos says two things here. He says, in the building, and its other needs.
So we both said both things they said?
But look at that. You see, if you only sit and think, you guys could be Tosfos.
Yeah.
You got to learn too, right?
The one is contradicting, the one is saying what the other answers.
Oh, so whenever you read two answers, we said, whenever you read two answers in the Gemara, whenever you read two answers in Tosfos, you always have to ask yourself, is answer number one exclusive of two? Is two exclusive of one? Or can they...
But one is clearly...
Think about it. Think about it. Wait, Yosef.
Okay, but in the second one, he's adding Shar Tzerchav.
I don't know why he felt the need to add Shar Tzerchav. I don't know what to do with that. I'm left with a quandary. I don't know what's Shan Tosfos. Meaning, I don't understand the logic of Tosfos. I don't know why, because you donated 20 shekel and you visited my shul that cost me 3 million, you should have a say about what I do with my shul.
Well, presumably there might be regulars who, like, every week they come, maybe drop a little.
But we said, if it's in a village, then we go with the regulars. If it's in a big city, so then the fact that you're coming and you're giving donations...
Just passing through.
What about if donation is not known by the
movie? Oh, so that's the point. We're assuming you can't know. So, let's wait. Let's read the next few lines in the Gemara, and then we'll see if you still have a question.
I have a question.
Yes?
So, what about synagogues? I don't know, they're built in civil administration, which the land belongs to the state.
We're not learning halacha here. We're learning how to learn Gemara. It's a good question, but not for now. Back to the Gemara. Amar Rav Ashi, sorry. Back to the Gemara. Amar Rav Ashi. Hai Bekenishta Demata Machsia. Rav Ashi says, this shul of the great city of Mata Machsia, even though it's a big city, and it's hustling and bustling and people come in from all over, Afalgav Deme Alma Atula, even though people are coming from all over, Kevan de Adaita Didikaatu, being that whoever comes here knows that I'm the chief rabbi, Rav Ashi was the Godol Ador, and everyone knew that he ran the show in Mata Machsia, whatever he said went. Ibeinim is Abninala, if I wanted to, I could sell it. So Rav Ashi is teaching us that when there's a chief rabbi that everyone recognizes that he's the chief rabbi, so then even people who give donations, they assume he's running the show and whatever he says is going to go. And so therefore, even in a city like Mata Machsia, you could sell the shul because anyone who's giving donations knows that Rav Ashi runs the show there and whatever he says goes. So on this concept that you could have a big city and then you can't sell, and if you have a big city with a chief rabbi, then you could sell the shul, that's where we're going to pick up Ezrat Hashem in 2 minutes.
Okay. I have